Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. We're going to be talking a lot about mushrooms this evening. Okay, wait, I'll quickly tell you, it's nice and sunny out. It's a beautiful day. Cold has gone away. I'm in the house. I'd rather be doing this outside, but we're inside. And we're really going to be talking a lot about mushrooms today. Going to Brandywine Valley, the mushroom capital of the world, to talk to a few people. They're going to tell us all about it. I'm not even going to do my typical commercial. We're going to go right there now. Hello.
Hi, Merle. This is
Kathy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? And Brett's here with
good.
Me, too.
So first, let's introduce each of you. Kathy, tell us who you are and what you do.
I am owner of the Mushroom Cap here in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. I'm also a coordinator for our annual Mushroom Festival here in town. It happens every year the weekend after Labor Day in September. So I'm here to promote mushrooms, obviously.
Okay. Now, just kind of quickly get into the Mushroom Cap. What is the Mushroom Cap?
The Mushroom Cap, we sell fresh mushrooms, gifts, collectibles. We started this in 2004. Our family has been in the mushroom industry since 1946. So we search high and low for mushroom products. We have a lot of local mushroom products here, food, gourmet food products. We're listed as the second attraction in Kennett Square, Longwood Gardens obviously being number one. So we're proud of that. So that's what we're all about.
And what is snackin' shrooms?
My snackin' shrooms are a seasoned, dried mushroom that I created in 2009 by mistake here in our shop. We have three flavors that we're promoting now. One is garlic, which is pure garlic powder and mushroom. The other is a spicy mild, and we have a spicy hot. And they can be used as a snack, or they can be used in soups, on salads, on pizza. You can just go outside the box and use your culinary imagination and use them however you would like.
So it's like either you can eat them the way you eat potato chips kind of thing.
Yes.
If you
and
want.
And it's a very healthy snack because it's, and there's no sugar. They're gluten-free. As far as calories, you know, there's 45 calories per serving, and we sell these bags. There are three servings per container.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, total most fat is 1%, saturated fat is 0, cholesterol is 0. So we're thinking this is a pretty healthy snack.
Any particular type of mushroom that you use?
Yes, we use the white mushroom because the white mushroom is one of two that we use, we eat raw naturally. Anytime you buy exotic mushrooms dried, they should be rehydrated and cooked. But I don't use the Cremini Portobello brown mushroom because it doesn't have the right texture, and I start off with a large white mushroom, and we hand slice each one with an egg slicer. So it just happens to be that's the right texture, and you know, it works well with this product.
So mushrooms. Mushroom is a mushroom is a mushroom. What's any difference in the mushrooms?
Well, yeah, there's lots of different mushrooms. We have, you know, the white buttons, which come in button size, real tiny, that you would use for pickling. And then we have medium, which is more versatile. You use them for lots of different things. And then your large is usually used for stuffing. And the cremini, which we call the baby bella here, is a baby portabella, actually. And, you know, there's a portabella, which I'm sure everybody's heard about, a portabello.
Right.
There's oyster.
I just had that for dinner. I was looking to figure out what to do with it. I said, I'm just going to, like, fry it and shoved it in a sandwich. That's what I did.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's a great alternative to a hamburger, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. It really is.
Well, and we have oysters, maitake,
yeah,
and shiitake, and Brett is here from Portobello's Restaurant, and I'm sure he can tell you all kinds of things to do with each one of these mushrooms.
How you doing, Mom?
Oh, hi, Brett.
How you doing?
Oh, just fine. Oh, introduce yourself. I just wrote Chef Brett. Do you want your last name, too?
Sure, absolutely. My name's Brett Holborn. I'm the chef owner of Portobello's Restaurant here in Kennett Square.
I want the job.
Oh, and I got it. And I don't want people to think just because of the name Portobello's that it's automatically an Italian restaurant either.
No, actually, my cuisine is new American with international overtones, a little heavy on the Italian influence. So my menu, my food is very diverse. But, of course, the highlight on my menu is mushrooms, and I have lots of different mushrooms on the menu.
Now, let's just get people to drool a little. Let's talk about a few of the items on the menu with the mushrooms, starting
with,
I drool. You know I'm going to re-experience.
Great question. My favorite thing to cook is soup. I call myself a soup guy. And on my menu, I have two different mushroom soups. I have my State Street mushroom soup, which is roasted white mushrooms with garlic, and it's flavored with herbs and Madeira wine, and just a touch of cream. And that's made with roasted mushrooms that are pureed. So it's a real hearty, rich mushroom soup. Then the second mushroom soup is my reishi mushroom and five-spice chicken noodle soup. And reishi mushroom is a mushroom I just started cooking with about 6 months ago. And it's actually a very difficult mushroom to cook with, the most difficult I've ever cooked with, because it's very bitter. So I remember the first batch that I made, I actually wouldn't let anybody taste it. It took four batches before it can become palatable, and now it's hands down my number one selling soup. It's rich, vibrant, fiery Asian flavors. With lots of bean sprouts and freshwater chestnuts, and it's a dynamite soup.
You mean the one I had that had garlic in it, or you didn't put the garlic in it because
you had the regular mushroom soup, my State Street mushroom soup.
Okay.
That did have a little bit of garlic in it. The reishi mushroom soup has tons of garlic in it, tons of garlic and ginger.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
then, Another great dish that I'm selling a lot of is my exotic mushroom crepes. And it's real simple. It's a blend of Phillips Farms exotic mushrooms and it with cream and Madeira wine and a little bit of ground Padano cheese. It's really super popular. Very, very rich.
And delicious, too.
Thank you.
So now, when you're cooking with mushrooms, I mean, because of the variety, which, by the way, at the moment I have all of them in my house, and
good,
plenty of them, thanks to Phillips. as I sit down, and go, oh my God, what do I do with all these? And my first question, of course, is, because I read this, I should cook it all up and freeze, right?
You actually, yes, you could do that. That is a good choice.
Just saute each one of them and just
yep.
And put it in a package that a sealed, tight package, and just freeze it.
Yep.
And label it so I'll know which mushroom it is.
She's gonna be here.
So now, and I'm just curious, in terms of that, like when you're combining the mushrooms, are there ones where you say, well, oh, no, you just either use this one plain or, you know, you can combine such and such? You know, what are your suggestions on that?
You know what, mushrooms are so versatile. I mean, you can do so many different things with them. And all their flavors are really interchangeable. Reishi mushroom is the only mushroom that I've ever cooked with that I wouldn't try to put with a different type of mushroom. But you know, mushrooms are very interchangeable, and they're very forgiving as well, as long as you cook them correctly. And most require very high heat.
Ah, okay, which that's what I do. What about the pom-poms?
Oh, pom-poms are wonderful. Delicious mushroom. I've actually served them in the restaurant stuffed. I stuffed them with crab meat. And yeah, that's a delicious mushroom. They don't have very good shelf lives, so that's why it's kind of cool to live in an area like Kennett Square. I get all my mushrooms cut that morning at 10 o'clock, and, of course, right from Kathy.
So the first ones I should use up, if I'm going to use up, are the pom-poms, right?
Yes, definitely. I would use those first.
Okay.
Yep. A great way to if you have a lot of white mushrooms, a great way is just to pickle them. Make a nice sweet brine with vinegar and salt and whatever herbs you like and spices, and just put them in there, and they'll keep in your fridge for months.
Well, that's the only ones that weren't sent to me, the white ones.
Well, next time you're in town, you'll have to grab a couple boxes of them.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny because of having all these variety of mushrooms, I stopped kind of eating the white ones. The plain old white ones. Let me get a portobello or something else like that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially like oyster mushrooms and shiitake mushrooms and all the mushrooms. I mean, they have different benefits when it comes to for health reasons.
I was going to ask about it. I'm not going to get sick eating all those mushrooms, am I?
No. Everybody should have a good, healthy portion of mushrooms every single day because they are a superfood. Especially the exotics, you know, the shiitakes and the maitakes and the oysters, all the exotics. They contain so much more nutrients than the regular white mushrooms do.
And I'd like to say one thing, that mushrooms are the only item in the produce aisle that has natural vitamin D.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Can put your mushrooms in the sun for about 10 minutes, and they will absorb all the vitamin D that our bodies need. Now, on the East Coast, that would be from April to November.
Wow.
Yes.
So, in other words, instead of milk?
Well, it's just another source.
Another,
you know, I mean, think about the produce aisle, and it's the only item in the produce aisle that has natural vitamin D. And some of the mushrooms, the exotics, may have more than others. But I guess this was discovered in the white mushrooms, and that's where, you know, if you put your mushrooms in the sun, they will turn a little bit, obviously, but it's not going to hurt the mushrooms. It's absorbing it just like our bodies absorb it when we're in the sun.
Oh, that's interesting to know.
Uh-huh.
Is it just the white mushrooms that do that?
No, they all, but, you know, we're that's just the basic mushroom that you're going to find in most grocery stores. You're not going to find a maitake mushroom in the grocery stores. You're not going to find a pom-pom. You're not going to find a royal trumpet, you know. So that's just the one that the general public knows about and eats most of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we talk about it, so.
Oh, okay. Do you have any favorites on mushrooms?
Me?
Yes.
I like the maitake mushroom. It's got a different flavor. It's stronger. But I can also talk about Brett's reishi soup. We've had it several times, and it is outstanding. It's delicious. And then on top of that, it has some more health benefits than most of the others.
I don't know I don't remember if I got that then. That one doesn't sound familiar.
No, remember, Merle, you said that you didn't like garlic?
Right.
And I didn't want to serve that soup to you because you didn't like garlic.
Oh,
I'm talking about that
particular mushroom.
No, but the other thing, the reason why you wouldn't have received that mushroom is not edible in a form other than it being dried and made into powder.
Oh,
that's why.
Oh, okay.
I first tried to cook reishi, I cooked with the actual fresh product. And it, in my opinion, I will never try to do that again. It is just not palatable. But when you dry it, it doesn't lose any of its medicinal qualities, but it does take a lot of the bitterness out of it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll settle for the ones I have. One that I didn't see, I guess it doesn't grow any of the... I once had lobster mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, we get those throughout the year. Absolutely.
Oh,
a number of the farms
okay.
here grow those.
I thought that was wild.
Well,
that was
they,
a delicious one. Wow.
Yeah, there's some you can't get, like a like morel, the chanterelles you can't get.
Right.
You can only get those wild.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've had that. I remember I had that, like, just in, you know, going out to dinner or stuff like that. Now, to first get back to the subject of with mushrooms. So Is Phillips, that's like the farm? Is that, are there more than, or larger or anything? I mean, that place was huge.
Yes. Well, they're the largest exotic grower, and they just recently got into bigger facilities, and they built some places down in Maryland to get into the white market. There are several food processors here or places like Phillips. There's Country Fresh, there's Bashiani, there's Greenwood, there's just several. And they're all right here within the area. And but when we talk about growing or shipping 500 to 600 millions of pounds from this area, they're basically talking about the white mushroom. So we grow 62% of the nation's crop of mushrooms here in Pennsylvania, although there are mushrooms grown all over the United States. But, you know, and we say we're the mushroom capital of the world because there are no other areas that grow as many mushrooms in a concentrated area as here. So within a 10 to 25 mile radius, that's where this 600 to 700 millions of pounds of mushrooms come from.
Wow. I mean, can people, like, I know they have a chocolate trail, they got a wine trail, do they have a mushroom trail that people can go and...
No, well, you know, I think 2 years ago after the Mushroom Festival, the mycologist at Phillips, she did a mushroom walk. There's a lot of people that come into my store and they ask about foraging groups. There is a young gentleman in the area who came in to see me last week, and he's starting a club, Chester County Mycological Club, which is great for our area. I mean, being known as, you know, we do all the cultivated here, I don't profess to know too much about wild other than when I see the morels and the chanterelles here. So I can't answer a lot of questions. I have books here, and there's a lot of people that come in that have done foraging mushrooms, and they have learned it from their grandparents. It's been handed down through the generations, and that's mostly done in Europe.
Uh-huh. I mean, in terms of foraging mushrooms. I mean, can you go to different mushroom places like Phillips and say...
No. Although Phillips will soon have a growing room that will welcome the public, I mean, the mm-hmm. tour that you went on, Brett and his staff went, and I went with them, that's not done for the general public.
I know, that's
public.
Not a public tour.
Yeah. So we do that at the Mushroom Festival this year on Saturday, September 6th. We will have a shiitake farm open for that day, and there'll be bus tours going to that. But it's a really hard thing to do, to pull the guys out of the workplace and to do tours. Nobody is set up for that.
Oh, okay. So in other words, but they have something that you could see, because I think there was also a little of video that we got to see, so people could, like, sort of see how mushrooms grow. I was very surprised. When I was there, I don't know how many years ago, I remember going into some room and seeing as if it was someone's basement kind of thing or something.
Well, were you here when Phillips Mushroom Museum was open? Because that was closed in 2001 after 25 years of business. And we show a video here at the Mushroom Cap. So I do have bus tours that come here. A couple weeks ago I had FFA students from Allegheny County in New York. And they were here, 40 students, and my husband was here and talked about the mushroom growing. And the video, actually, in 12 minutes, you can walk away from here and feel very educated about mushrooms.
That's great. I'm going to really come up with, today I thought about, okay, Brett, maybe this is getting absurd or not. So I'm thinking to myself to make mushroom pancakes. Have you ever did that?
We do mushroom potato cakes.
Potato cakes.
Yep.
So, but what would you? What is your thought about? You know, like people sometimes put chocolate chips into a pancake.
Sure, that would be a great use for the reishi mushroom powder. People really should get to know more about the reishi mushroom. I mean, they're using it in cancer medicines now. It's really an amazing superfood. So everybody should have a little container of that reishi mushroom powder somewhere in their house, because when you make a cup of coffee, you can put a teaspoon in it. I mean, it's very easy to eat. You know, it's just a powder. In a pancake, that would be great. We make reishi mushroom pasta in the restaurant now.
Okay, but as far as making it like as you would put like chips in a pancake or, you know, fruit or something within the pancake or something like that, would you
ever
do that?
Sure, I would use either an oyster mushroom or a shiitake mushroom. That would actually go really good in there.
Okay, I'm going to write down because I'm trying to come up with some ideas of how to be eating the mushrooms that I get.
Yeah. What I do, one of my favorite things to do is I take, because we're all about the mushrooms here in Kennett Square, and you can't, there's really no overkill. I can throw as many different mushroom things, items on my menu as I can, and people just, they eat it up. But to make a mushroom pancake is great to have, like, sauteed filet tips served on top of that. That's wonderful eats.
Mmm.
Get hungry?
Sauteed filet, yes.
Did he talk about his portobello fries?
Oh, yeah, no. We forgot the portobello fries, yes.
And the portobello cheesesteak?
Yeah, I don't
that
think
I
you had that,
yeah.
Merle. No, portobello cheesesteak, I was actually over here. I'm in the Mushroom Cap. I own Portobello's. My restaurant's directly across the street from the Mushroom Cap. And I can remember standing here one day, and Kathy's like, yeah, I had a chef in here today, and he used to make a portobello mushroom cheesesteak. And I'm like, that's a great idea. And I had it on the menu the very next day. And it's the number one seller on my lunch menu. 100% vegetarian.
And how is that? Are you substituting the portobello for the steak?
Correct. Yep, you slice portobellos real thin, and you make it exactly like you would make your regular beef cheesesteak. It's absolutely fabulous.
So it's like having Philly cheesesteak, but with mushroom with a portobello instead.
Yep, that's correct, and just a little dash of Worcestershire sauce. I mean, it really tastes like beef. But the secret, of course, the most important thing is having fresh mushrooms. But the secret, of course, is all my sandwiches are served on my bread, which I get from Sal's Bakery in Brooklyn. Toasted it, and that's what you had when you came in for dinner that night.
Yeah.
Nice and crunchy on the outside and soft in the middle.
I'm noting these things down because I want to come up. Now, when you're making the cheesesteak, you're not using Velveeta, are you?
No. You will not find that anywhere in my kitchen, I guarantee you.
Dried
parsley, another ingredient.
What
you
do you use, by the way? I was at the... which I'll get them on to at the butcher, the country butcher.
Oh, the country butcher. Yeah.
Oh, they have such a great variety of cheeses there.
Yeah,
so
I actually I get my cheeses from the exact same place that the country butcher gets their cheeses from. Great company called BK Foods, or a specialty food company. I get cheeses. I mean, they have about 400 different varieties of cheeses. And I'm very picky about my cheese. I used, on that sandwich, I use a cave-aged imported provolone.
Cave-aged imported provolone.
Yes.
I'm writing this down when I go to Fairway Market this week, where they have at least 300 different cheeses. I will see if I can get that one.
Yeah, and then also look for a mango ginger Stilton.
Oh, yeah, mango,
right?
Ginger, Stilton. But I have to tell, by the way, just my chicken's blog is up, my rubber chicken.
Oh, yes, it's all. It looks great.
Yeah, their blog is up. It's going to take me days to write the other blog. I mean, it's like I'm up to the middle of Friday, and I've got at least probably like at least 1,300 words already.
Oh, well, good.
So once I get this entire thing done, then I can put it up with all the photos and stuff like that. But I'm getting very descriptive about everything I ate, you know, and so on.
Oh, well,
so
good,
forth.
Good. Yeah, we enjoyed cooking for you.
Oh, yeah, and I enjoyed eating.
Good.
What a reciprocation. Yeah, So, by the way, what is this, Brett, what's your background?
My background, I've been a chef almost my whole life. Well, first a cook, and then I worked my way up. And I actually come from New Jersey. I worked down in Cape May. I worked in Atlantic City for 20 years. And I met a girl who had a dream to open a restaurant, and that was the same dream I had. So we actually just stumbled upon Kennett Square one beautiful Friday in August 3 years ago. And just absolutely fell in love with it. I mean, we walked into the restaurant and we both looked at each other and it's like, this is it. So that was after an exhausting 2 month search for a restaurant.
The other thing I want to comment on is these reciprocations in town. It's like you go to the tasting, the wine tasting place.
Yes, the Flickerwood Wine Tasting Room.
Flickerwood Wine Tasting, right. You go there and as I was watching the show, this whole table of people were eating, like, all this food, and it's coming in, and I'm going, wait a minute, isn't that stuff coming in from Portobello? Let's look at that. So
yeah,
you can
absolutely.
Actually,
They have our menus over there, and whenever possible, they can order, call us, order their dinners, and then Sandra and I will bring them over to them. So,
and then on
really
the other side, you will get, they can pick up wine from them and bring it into your place.
Yes, that's correct. Yep, and we are a BYOB with no corkage fee, nor will there ever be. So it's great to have it's all luck. The stars aligned for Sandra and I when it came to Kennett Square, and you know it's nice to be a BYOB with a wine shop directly across the street.
Oh, great. Kathy, do you find like a lot of the places will like take advantage of, because, you know, in other words, another local store, let's say, I remember I went into one that's a coffee place, the one that's a tea shop. Will, let's say, a restaurant buy from the tea shop or things like that? Do they do that, tend to do that?
Yeah, Portobello's, I think they do the tea. And you do, what else do you do with as far as?
We do Ms. Robinson's Tea, which is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We sell all Mitra Kana ice cream, which is.
Oh, right, the ice cream, right, yeah.
Yep, just down the street from us. And, you know, lots of different places. Of course, Kathy right across the street. We've teamed up with the Eco Boutique right up the street. That's Doug Harris's place.
Mm-hmm.
We do occasional dinners right next door at Kennett Design, which is a painting studio, and Sweet Christine's Bakery, which is a gluten-free bakery, which is also just down the road. We buy all their products.
I think that's a great idea to be doing in a neighborhood.
You know,
I think that's
we all support each other pretty well here.
What I thought was. So not only the supportiveness, but that it had that kind of facility. I mean, that you had all these specialty places. Like, it's not you're just walking into, like, a place and you're going to have a cup of coffee. You know, they're sitting there, you see it grinding in the whole bit. Or, you know, they're all, like, they all have their own thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or many,
you know, one place I forgot to mention called Filter. And wonderful place, just opened a few months ago,
uh-huh.
And it was just an absolute pleasure to support the owner of the restaurant, you know, as well as we could, because people did that for us, and that's the feel that you get here in Kennett Square. Everybody wants you to succeed. So it's a great town, especially to own a business in.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I went and I did a little video, which will be on the YouTube soon, of her making a cup of coffee, because it's kind of like a cross between French press and brew.
Yes.
When she does it. It's like this one cup of coffee that's, you know, brewed each time you go in, as you know, and not just from the machine. Unless
right.
you're getting espresso.
Right. Yeah, they do a fabulous job over there. It's the best cup of coffee I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, so I think that's everybody has their own, like, smart thing that they're doing. And I hear there's a lot of expansion that's going to go on. What do you guys think about it?
I think it's great. And the cool thing about Kennett Square is never going to get too big. You know, it's going to grow, but it's not going to be like a Westchester, which
uh-huh.
I like that. It's almost like a little Mayberry, or I should say a big Mayberry.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. You know, yeah, you're right. And I just want to get one other quick thing in about a place that you can stay, in case you want to be in an apartment, for instance.
Oh, yes,
away,
I have
Kathy.
Plenty of apartments here, as you well know. We occasionally have weekends available. Most of them are rented out to corporate people, like somebody coming in for a month if they're in between houses, or I've had people here that have been here visiting family because a baby was born, that type of thing. And there are a few bed and breakfasts here, the Kennett House Bed and Breakfast, and there's a Bancroft Bed and Breakfast here. And, of course, the Hilton Garden Inn and the Fairfield are right outside of town. So there's lots of places to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one other thing to say about the spirit here. Last weekend we had a couple here that are moving from Hawaii to Kennett Square. They've been in Hawaii for about 15 years, and they felt the need to be closer to family. And family is not as close to Kennett Square. It's like one family is in New Jersey, and one family is another hour away the other direction. But they stood here in my store, and they said they felt drawn to here, and they felt that Kennett Square had the aloha spirit. So I thought that was a great compliment for our
yes.
town.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Yes,
yes it does. It's just yes, it really does. We're going to be back again because I want to experience the area in the not the heat of the sun, but towards the summertime when things are in bloom, kind of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the blossoms are already starting right now. I mean, it's you're starting to see some color. Spring is here.
And then, of course, you could come to the Mushroom Festival.
Yeah, that is in September?
That's the weekend after Labor Day in September.
Okay.
It's always the weekend after Labor Day.
After
September 6th and 7th this year. It's our 29th annual. It's very busy. There's no rain date, so we kind of go with the flow. Last year was our best year in a long, long time because we had two gorgeous days. And then this past New Year's Eve, we had an event called Midnight in the Square where we dropped a 600-pound stainless steel LED chandelier shaped like a mushroom from the sky. So it was...
I think it's cool.
To New York's Times Square. Absolutely.
I think that's really cool. Yeah, I want to go there kind of when there's an event, specific event going on. So I think that would be a good time, especially, and I think things will still be in bloom. You know, I wanted to kind of go back to winter too.
Yes.
And see some of the outside of Longwood Gardens. other than the conservatory. And I'm sure there are things that I just haven't done.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to work, Brett. I know you probably...
Yeah, I'm standing here at the door staring at my restaurant, getting a little nervous.
Okay. Well, so I'm gonna let you go and run out the door.
Okay.
I may call you another time for a recipe.
Please do. Great talking to you, Merle.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Merle. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great day and a great evening, and thanks for sharing with us.
Okay. It's been wonderful. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ah, yes. Well, let's see. I guess I'm going to then make sure I do some more mushroom stuff. I like that, the cheesesteak, the portobello cheesesteak. I'm going to do that. Okay. I certainly have enough portobellos to do that with. So, well, in that case, heck, I'm going to end my show early. And everybody, I know, I forgot. No, wait, I'm sorry. I always have to have my, yes.
What would you do to earn brownie points?
I just had one.
How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted?
Oh, God, it was.
Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
And you can get these absolutely wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. Okay, now I'm going to leave you all. And, I just got an email telling me that the show, well, it's not A Night with Janis Joplin, was supposed to open up tomorrow night. It's supposed to go to the opening, and I just got an email saying it's not, and kind of like, stay tuned. Okay. In that case, I'm going to go bye-bye.